This is Deacon Mike, and welcome as we examine the readings for the first Sunday of Advent. At this time, I invite you to turn in your Bible to the Old Testament, find the prophet Isaiah, and read from chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. When you have done that, please return to this podcast. The first reading all four Sundays this Advent come from Isaiah, the prophet, one who speaks for God. With Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Isaiah is considered one of the major prophets, which in this case means we have a large amount of their known writings. Isaiah was an educated aristocrat, an advisor to the kings of Judah, south of Palestine. He was married, his children all had symbolic names, and he prophesied for 40 years. And we must remember that the number 40 is symbolic, meaning a significant length of time. The selection we read today is from the first part of the prophet Isaiah, chapters 1 to 39, which deal with the time of Assyria's rise to power. And Isaiah warns of the upcoming destruction, that if the people do not trust in God, they will be banished. It is a call to fidelity, and it falls on deaf ears. Chapter 2 discusses the future discipline that is to fall on the people, but also glory to arrive. In verse 2 we read, "In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it." In the days to come, scholars are not sure if Isaiah is referring to a specific event or perhaps to just the future in general. But we know with the coming of Jesus, "in the days to come" takes on a very specific messianic tone. The mountain of the Lord's house. The people at that time believed that the mountains was where the gods dwelt, and the temple in Jerusalem was built on the highest point of the city. Therefore, it became the highest home of the gods. And there was only one God, Yahweh. All nations shall stream toward it, not just the Jewish people, but the Gentiles, those who were not Jewish, as well. For we read in verse 4, "For from Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Zion was the name of the hill on which the temple of King Solomon was built. And this holy city of Jerusalem was to serve as the earthly center for the heavenly kingdom. Again, we must remember that the Jewish people were called the chosen ones, meaning they were not the only ones chosen to be saved, but they were the ones chosen by God to spread the message. Our second reading comes from the letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. Please refer to this passage at this time. The letter to the Romans is first of the letters in the New Testament because of its length, and that is how the letters were placed in Scripture, according to how long they were. But it's ironic that this first letter is also one of the most important. Rome, the center of the known world at that time, and all roads led to Rome. It was a mixture of Jews, but predominantly Gentiles. The Christian community was alive and well in Rome. Paul wrote this letter in the late 57 AD, 58 AD, as he was planning to visit Rome. Each time Paul went out on a missionary journey, he traveled farther and farther from his homeland, and he wanted to get to Rome. Three reasons for writing this letter. One, he wanted to introduce himself and his beliefs before he gets to Rome to the Christian community. Rumors and stories are spreading about Paul, and he wants to set their minds at ease that he is coming for a good purpose. Second, he wanted to establish Rome as his headquarters. Not only had the entire eastern part of the empire heard the message of Jesus, but he was planning eventually to move on towards Spain, thereby covering the entire known world at that time. And thirdly, there were tensions rising because of the boasting going on by the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews felt they were people of the Old Covenant and were deserving of all the blessings and advantages of being a chosen one. The Gentiles felt they were replacing the Israelites as the newly chosen, beloved people, and they deserved the best of everything. In chapter 1 and 2, Paul introduces himself and explains his theology, his belief in God. And then beginning in chapter 3, he will explain how one is to live out this belief in God. In verse 11, we read, "For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." This is a reference to our personal arrival at paradise and also the coming of Jesus at the end of time. And with each breath we take, we get closer to that time. And finally, in verse 14, Paul says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." More accurate translation of this would be, "Renew now the vows of your baptism and live as his child." Our gospel reading for the first Sunday of Lent comes from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24, verses 37 to 44. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So it will be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel for the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of the liturgical year of the Church, comes from the Mount Olivet Discourse, where Jesus taught his disciples right before the Last Supper. Mount Olivet was directly east of the city of Jerusalem, and this is where he gathered to give them his last will and testimony, so to speak. Why do we place at the beginning of our liturgical year a reading from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, with an event that happens near the end of his earthly life? This is a way of telling us what's to come, and the rest of the year will give us the hows and whys of life and how to live as a child of God. In verse 38, there is a reference to Noah. "In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark." No one knows when an unexpected catastrophe may occur in life. If one spends their life with no concern for God and his commandments, they will be caught unprepared. Verse 42 summarizes the message, not only for Advent, but for the entire liturgical year. Therefore, stay awake. This is Deacon Mike, reminding you to live the Word.